When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's starting. Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, and siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School, starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Goudeau. Penn, Matt, Reddy, Rich, and I are broadcasting from our separate homes around the world. On today's dazzling panoply, we've got a fantastic comedian, author, actor, and voice of reason. He's even got his own bobblehead. The great Lewis Black is here. Here he is preaching love, Mr. Penn Jillette.
This is the second half of our interview with Lewis Black, although I don't know if it's actually the second half in order. We had a lot of tech problems. Reddy got handed a zillion different files from Lewis Black that weren't numbered, nothing. He's trying to put it all together. It's cobbled together. So let's call this an interview with Reddy Rich using the rest of our voices.
I mean, what the fuck? I don't even know what I'm saying.
I think what's neat is that you play this episode to the movie The Lion King, and it matches up perfectly.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Perfect. All the voices, everything. So let's go back to talking Lewis Black, shall we?
Dead on Lion King, Goudeau.
Now, you must know Bernie. Did you ever meet Biden? Did
I
you
never
know
met
Trump?
Bernie.
Never.
I've avoided most of those people. I don't really want to meet them.
You know, what are your reasons for that?
I just don't think it's kind of like, I don't think that it's that thing in D.C., in D.C. when the journalists kind of know the people they're covering.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this is, I don't need to, if I got to yell about them, I don't need to fucking like, I don't need to know them.
Yeah.
I need to keep them at a distance.
Well, Howard Stern said you can't make fun of anybody once you know them because you like them.
Yeah. I mean, I forget, I met a couple early on or very early and went to a couple of things. You know, like fundraisers and stuff, and realized, no, you can't do this. You know, you're fucking with the water. You know, shouldn't be doing that. I did meet, I have to say, just for a little bit of time, and it was great, because he did so well, and was just a really nice guy. It was a mensch is the word that I rarely use. But Jamie Raskin, the one who Raskin, the congressman who ran the impeachment.
Yeah.
He's from what would have been formerly was my district in Maryland, and came to a show about three or four years ago, and came backstage, and it was really, that was great. You know, if they come back and say hi and stuff, and it was nice to meet him, but now I could, you know, but I could have, you know, if. I can make fun of his hair still. And then, you know.
One of the things that Trump did accomplish was it turned out that for a short period of time, Al Franken, Glenn Beck, and I agreed on everything. I mean, you and I... probably had some political differences.
Yeah, but not
in the year before Donald Trump was elected.
Right.
The day he was elected, we overlapped. Yeah. The Venn diagram of Lewis Black and Penn Jillette came identical.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
There wasn't even any space around there at all.
Oh, no. That was gone.
Yeah.
No, that was gone.
But
what would amaze me was that 9 out of 10 New Yorkers only didn't want him to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
All of us who lived in the city didn't want him to be, anybody in Manhattan didn't want him to be it. And we were the only ones, because he was literally, he lives 8 blocks from me, 9 blocks, you know, is where he was.
Well, he did, not now. Not now. He won't go near Manhattan now.
No. Right. But, you know, but then, and it was like, and you try to explain to the audience, you know, guys, you know, one of the things I'd just like to tell you is that, you know, we know him. You don't know him. You see him on TV. It's different that way. He's in front of us every day. It's going to be different. You may want to think about it is, you know, before you.
But the Manhattan people cannot touch the Atlantic City people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. The Atlantic City people knew him on a level the whole country was going to learn about him on.
Yeah, no, that.
You know, I work, you work casinos in Atlantic City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've worked down there.
Yeah.
You know how much they know about Trump early on. Uh-huh. They lived the whole experience just 15 years before the country did.
Oh, no, there I'd say, you know, because I would go in even at the, you know, even at the, because if anybody kind of, you know, went a little Trumpy in the audience coming up to the election, I play the Borgata and they... They would just go nuts. I mean, the rest of the audience would, fuck you. He shit, goddamn, I can fuck you and your fucking traveling bullshit. They, I mean, he just, he really did horrifying things in that city.
Horrifying. Now, here's something that just amazed me. I didn't think I could be amazed anymore after the pandemic, but you just shocked me. There were pro-Trump people in a Lewis Black audience?
Oh, yeah, isn't that unbelievable?
How did that... What do you want? I feel like you. I can't even... I'm like...
I know.
How does that happen?
I know.
What's about that?
I don't... And I would sit there and go... And people would literally... And it was good in the sense that the audience would handle it.
Sure.
You know, I didn't really have to deal with it because the audience was more shocked. Because I'd already been through it a couple of times. So if somebody's sitting in the audience for the first time and hears someone who kind of goes off, they're like, their heads twisting, or, you know, it's like, their heads would twist around to see who the fuck, what? Are you kidding me? You know,
but how did that person end up in the audience?
I have no idea. Wow. I said, what happened? People would go out, the guy, it was really great. One guy one night had bought a CD on the way in. And then I did the, and it was some anti-Trump stuff. And he threw the CD back. So I made the money at the door and got a CD money and he resold the CD. That's how smart the guys were.
What did he say? Oh, here's the voice of anger from the Disney film. I'll go see him. I mean, what? How could you sell a ticket? Tell me how you sold the ticket to that guy, because I will sell a ticket to anybody, to anything.
Well, these are people, though, that basically didn't pay. They didn't even turn on the YouTube. They also expected, because of my displeasure with both sides, that they saw him as a different side.
Ah, yes.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that answer.
Yeah. yeah. Now, that was what they saw him as. But, and then I.
Sure. Oh, I see.
I had one night, the weirdest thing, I can't remember what she said, but it was close to this. In the front row, I did it in my act because for a while I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? Ann Arbor, bastion of one of the free states of Ann Arbor, you know, like free state of Madison, Wisconsin. You know?
Sure.
Like, you can't, you know, that thing about what you can say or can't say. Wow. You know, there, I love playing there because I know once I come up to these words, I'm going to say something, they're going to go, oh, and then I get to fucking punch them out with their fucking. Yeah. Really, this is what you're worried about, you idiots? But they, so I'm finishing up. I'm 2 minutes from the end. 2 minutes. And I literally had gotten it. So the only thing I did was like, because it wasn't worth it. It was 3 or 4 minutes about him at the end because it was like, I said, you know, because it was kind of like everybody knew the jokes. You know, by the time between Twitter and this and that and the other, you already had 45 jokes about whatever he did that day, unless it was something that I went wow, and I could use it.
Yeah.
And there were certain things that I had gotten that I felt did two or three pieces that I thought nailed it. And then I had this thing, it was just before the election, and I did this joke that I'd been doing, you know, every so often about certain people, certain places who were running for office. I said, you know, and if you vote for Donald Trump, I'm going to, let me just say that, you're going to go to hell. And I said, and then I heard this little rumbling, and I said, and I know you find that hard to believe, but I said, the reason I know that is because God told me. And then, this woman in the front row who must have been, you know, who had the white hair, looked like, as I described her, as the woman that you wanted to make the turkey dinner on Thanksgiving. 75, white hair, beatific. She literally goes, "Fuck you!" She said,
"Wow!"
I literally was like, I walked over, and I'm so stupid because it was like, "What are you doing?" So I walked to the edge of the stage. I go, "What?" She said, "You can." It was something effective. "You can eat shit. You can eat shit." And I was like, did I say something that bothered you?" Then her husband got up, and he did this thing where they reach behind themselves, like they might have a gun.
Yeah,
that move, you know, that they have, which I didn't know that move. So my opening act, John Bowman and another, my manager, the tour manager, race on the stage when they see this.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, I didn't think anything of it, you know, because I just thought he was tucking his shirt, and I'm the dude's carrying it. It's Ann Arbor. And I thought maybe she was upset about the God thing or whatever, and she was, they got up, and, you know, she was yelling, and he, and then they basically just walked out with him, the older guy just going like this the whole way out, giving me the fuck you song. And the audience booing, and it was like, oh, you know, this is the kind of way you want to end a show. It's really great. You know, so there was a couple sitting next to them, and I said, you know, it looked like, are you the sons or the daughter? What upset them? They said, well, you know, she's going to vote. She's voting for him, and you know, and you said if she voted for him, she was going to go to hell. And I said, would you tell her that I'm not in charge of that decision? But that was the kind of stuff I was dealing with. It was all crazy. You know?
Wow.
Or the thing, too, which, you know, the other stuff, which is madness, you know, because of this living in, you know, two separate lands. Because I said we were living in two realities, which we still are. You know, people, I'd say something, you know, 96% of the world scientists believe in, climate change or, you know, whatever. And inevitably there'd be somebody, once or twice, some guy yell out, "That's not true." Really?
Good fact checking, buddy.
You know, and I said, that's the worst part of my gig. I said, I never got into this business to, you know, to have to do research, you fucking dick. Okay, but I didn't. And I said, if I wanted to make shit up, then I made the shit up. And if I made the shit up, just shut the fuck up. God. Now, you know what else I thought was weird? Did you, when you were, you know the other thing that I thought was strange during this pandemic that I wondered about? That I don't know if you know this. Besides the fact that you don't need to wear a mask, you know, there's, you know, the whole non-science aspect. But then on television, there were people even early on, like by, you know, April, you know, you'd be seeing things where, you know, some ads where people were, you know, no one's wearing masks on television. And I thought, God damn it. You know, just the shows, all of the things that were on, the commercials. There are no masks on. So I'm saying this makes this behavior look normal to people. You know, they're not thinking about it. There's no thing at the bottom, you know, you should wear a mask. These fucking people did this, you know, 2 years ago. We just decided to fucking pay them for what their work, because now we're stuck with this fucking ad. We can't do new ones. Something. Some fucking explanation.
That exact wording seems perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems, that as a crawl would be just great. Matt, you were going to ask something. You had your mic up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just going to ask, you've been podcasting now and not being able to tour. Have you found podcasting to help fill any kind of performance void for you, or does it just feel different to you?
What it did do was give me, I can't do that Zoom comedy shit.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't, I have no joy in that. I don't, I need a, there's a few comics who've talked about this. I need an audience to figure out. I write in front of the audience. That's what I do. I've always done it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how I find it. You know, I have a thought. I'll take my thought. If I take my thought in front of an audience, in front of an audience, find out where the punchline is. But I can't sit down and write the fucking punchline.
Fascinating.
You know, I just have never had that. So I started part of the thing with the Rantcast, part of it was that I liked what we started in the fact that it is the only, I read these rants that are written by people from everywhere. And now they're coming, you know, from all over the world, really. And that I would do them after my show. And then, once we were in lockdown, I started to ask folks to send in more. And it's the only show that's written by the audience.
Yeah, it's a really nice idea. It's a really beautiful idea.
You know,
yeah.
And so and I wanted them to be able to, you know, they never get the chance to speak. So you actually, so I have a soldier speaking about something, or a teacher speaking about something, or somebody who has to deal with a mental health issue, or, you know, somebody who literally, one of the best is this debate about smooth or chunky peanut butter. Like, to the point where, like a cage match. Two sisters going after each other at a show one night where they both, sitting in different places, wrote about, you cunt, you piece of shit, you're a fucking asshole. You know, it was like And then at the end, she just tore her sister apart for all sorts of stuff. And then it ended with, love you, sis. It was just, but I really liked the, doing that. And the thing is the one way I could kind of keep the comedy chops going was I know how to read those without an audience.
Right.
I've done the Daily Show for so long. I've ran it for so long. They write in my style. Even if they don't, I know how to do that rhythm. I know where the jokes are. I know where the laughs are. I know what the attitude is. So that's really what has been great for me. It's been a lifesaver.
Do you punch those up at all?
No.
That Circus Peanut thing sounded like so much in your voice.
I know, wasn't it? It was great. Yeah, no, I don't. I let them, you know, every so often I'll say something, I'll do a comment, but I really let them do the talking.
That's amazing.
I'm always interested in this, you know, talking to Dennis Miller and Bill Maher and people like that. How do you take in news? What papers do you read, and how do you read them, and what do you watch on TV? I don't mean particularly during the pandemic. I mean, when you're really working, how do you fill your head with the stuff you need to know? Are you afraid of knowing too much, or?
No, I don't. I've never, the phone never worked for me, except if, like, somebody sends me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not like, oh, look what this Twitter thing just came out. You know, I don't follow that. I'm going blind enough as it is. Staring at a small screen is not going to help. But I do, I'll read, I'll open the Times. I still get it in the paper edition. And people go, Well, you know that, you know, and they've fucked up on a lot of levels. But the one thing about the one thing I have to say about a newspaper is somebody has to show up to get a job, has to have a resume to work there. But I'll read, like, I'll kind of look through it and see what pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
What am I looking at that really irritates me, or something that I didn't know about, you know? So, so I start with that. There might be somebody, there might be some op-ed thing I see. I go, I'll read that. And then there's a thing called The Week.
Mm-hmm. I read The Week every week. Yeah, I love it.
It's great, isn't it? It's a real,
really beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautifully done piece of work, and it gives both sides. It really
nicely curated. Yeah,
it's really done well, and they've got some nice stuff at the beginning that I always use, which is like kind of the absurd news. You know, like
mm-hmm.
you know, things in coming out of
only in America.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the certain madnesses. And I've used those things in my act, and I use, and that was that stuff. And then, so I read that. And I used to read I stopped the New York Post once. I used to read that, but that they were so far up Trump's ass that I just couldn't do it anymore. He was like, come on, guys. You know, but the thing I always liked about the Post before they, you know, as nuts as they, what I liked about how crazy they were. As I used to say about the Post, that you'd read the Post, you go, Jesus, this is bullshit. This hasn't happened. You know, this never happened. And 2 weeks later, it did happen. So they're like, they were like making shit up. Their news was so fucking insane. I would just kind of read it. And every so often, I'd see something in it and I'd rip it out and take it and use it. You know, like somebody, there was a thing about bar mitzvahing an animal. Somebody got their dog at a bar mitzvah. You're not going to find that in the Times. You really need to get the Post.
And so delivered to your house is just the New York Times.
Just the Times in the Week. And then, and that's really it. And then I watch, and then I flip around, as MSNBC, CNN, Fox. I just, you know. And now now what I watch is just to cut down on my intake. Is like the news at like, you know, the evening news, you know, the half hour, or sometimes PBS or sometimes BBC,
mm-hmm.
which is not as psychotic. BBC is kind of like, where everything's going to be all right. We're going to have some milk maybe in our tea. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. And, you know, and we'll be back with the vacation tips for Sierra Leone.
Do you find you have sources for non-political rant material, or that just might happen once in a while?
No, and every so often they do, you know, there's something in there. And then, and I have people send me stuff.
Yeah.
Which is good. I've always gotten that for non-political stuff, you know.
One of your famous bits from a while ago was when alternative milks first came around and you went off about almond milk.
Yeah.
I imagine that's not from a news article. That's probably from.
No, that was me walking up and down the aisles. And really, this is because the nice thing, since I really don't shop much. Whenever I kind of stumble in, you know, in order to, you know, have something to do during the day, I'd stumble in and go, gee, I wonder what's up in the store. And you go, now it's epic. You know, some of these stores just. You know, 5,000 cereals. You know, you go, you know, and every seven, when I started eating granola, you know, it was like somebody got a bag of crap and just pounded it and then canned it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now there's like 45,000. And I mean, how many bags of granola? What the fuck can it, you know? And then you look and it's like, oh, Jesus, how could granola have 6,000 calories?
Did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? Awareness Month? Awareness Month, yeah. Mental Health Awareness Month. I've been studying Spanish, so I've been doing my anyway. Make mental health part of your weekly routine with Pod Therapy, an explicit question and answer podcast hosted by two Las Vegas therapists. Las Vegas therapists on a mission to destigmatize mental health. Pod Therapy takes in the realities of mental health with an upbeat attitude, genuine compassion, and real clinical insight. joined by guests like, get this for a guest, Piff the Magic Dragon, and even, you ready? Our very own Matt Donnelly. The show combines laughter and sincerity to create a supportive, listening community. Each week's show is fresh, relevant, and fun as the hosts take on questions about anxiety, depression, addiction, sex, relationships, and life's many complexities. So, listen to Pod Therapy, a podcast available wherever you listen, or go to podtherapy.net, www.podtherapy.net to learn more. That's Pod Therapy. Real people, real questions, real therapists. Check it out for Mental Health Month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you consider yourself always like building an hour at a time?
Yeah.
Or like, how do you look at your work? And then like inside baseball talk, like, do you construct it in a certain way? Like, do you know, like over the course of an hour that the audience needs to rest at certain points or anything like that?
No, I never think about. I never think about my audience.
So you just line it up and knock it down.
Yeah. No, I just I do think about it as, you know, I mean, really literally when I start working on a new set, I literally just start putting it together. And it's like you do this and then, oh, this will go better here and this will go better here. And I guess about, I can't even remember the name of the album, the CD or whatever, the special, but the I did this thing. I made a conscious effort to not yell, that I was going to do a whole hour with much less yelling and show that anger could be presented in other ways. Other than yelling. And that, you know, it could come through, the choice of words, and some of the stuff was meaner. And I did that. And it was probably the in terms of the reaction of the audience, kind of criticism was, well, you know, he's tuckered out. He really doesn't have to. He's too tired. He just yelled out. He's like, oh, Jesus. And I thought it was one of the meaner albums.
That's probably when you started doing the commercials for Aruba.
Yeah. Yeah. It was close.
Those are really funny. Really.
How did you end up doing the commercials for Aruba?
They came to me because they knew that I was the guy who would hate everything. And okay. So I was going to make Aruba seem nice again. Oh, boy. It was fun.
Do you ever find yourself at like gatherings and you're like, oh, everybody seems a little disappointed that I'm not yelling. I better start yelling about something.
No. But I do find every so often people were like, but every so often people come up and it's like, try to make me angry, or, you know.
Oh, they try to fire you up.
Yeah. Or, you know, or they come up, I can't believe you're so calm. Yeah. Well,
oh.
You know, as well, what do you think? I'm going to wander through the screaming through an airport. That'd be good.
No, Lewis, that would be great. I would love to see a special that was nothing but a Steadicam of you going from your apartment to the airport to on the plane and don't stop yelling for a moment. As a matter of fact, that's your next special, Lewis. That would kill
you. Yeah.
That would destroy me.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Just the TSA going, I'm taking off my fucking watch, my fucking boots, What do I look like, a fucking terrorist? I'm from Maryland. I'm a Jew. Shut the fuck up. I'm not going to blow up your fucking stupid piece of shit plane. You yelling at TSA that you were from Maryland would make me laugh forever.
Now, I know Penn and Teller are about to return to the stage after their year, greater than a year hiatus.
Wow.
And Penn has spoken about being nervous, and then other people confirming that it's going to be difficult to actually perform magic again for the first time. Are you worried at all about setting foot on stage again and doing stand-up again?
A little. I don't know. I'm choosing probably where I'll do it. It's a place that I'd be comfortable and not really worry about whether I'm going to be funny or not. I don't really.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about that, because I think there'll be a certain kind of liberation from being up there, and the audience will feel that liberation too.
Yeah.
All six of them. I'm sure.
What is your what are your favorite places to play? Where would those places be?
Well, the West Bank. Mm-hmm. I'd go down there, outside of DC,
mm-hmm.
outside of there, Washington is a great place. Boston, anywhere through anywhere through Massachusetts. The great thing about Massachusetts is they're more bitter than I've ever thought of being bitter. Those people.
We from Massachusetts are still bitter from McGovern.
I know.
We haven't gotten over McGovern yet.
It's so.
Got a big head start on you.
But one of the place I'm thinking I might start is in, because I'm not really ready to roll back into a club. I mean, some people have been playing clubs. I don't get it. I mean, their comics have been playing, comedy clubs through this.
Yes.
I can't imagine.
Crazy.
I mean, they've had to because of just financially. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky in the fact that I haven't. But they, there's a place called the National Comedy Center up in Jamestown. And I've been involved with that for quite a while. And I've performed up there a lot. And there's a place called Chautauqua, mm-hmm. too. And so I have an audience that's there that I know. I think that may be in July, where I kind of do something. The first couple of things that I do would be there, because they would be more forgiving in a sense, and be
right.
And it would be a place that I'd be really kind of comfortable doing it, and not, I don't need the lights. I just really would like to, I just like to get my foot in.
Right.
You know about that National Comedy Center, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think when you think of, Las Vegas, the word forgiving never pops to mind in any context at all.
Yeah.
We don't forgive gambling debts, certainly. We don't forgive anything. So that's where I'll be going on first.
When do you start again?
By the time we show this, we'll have started, I bet. But it'll be April 22nd.
No.
Yeah. We have the Penn & Teller Theater is 1,450 seats. We'll be putting 250 masked people in there.
250?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you start, 250. That's okay.
Yeah. So a sixth of the audience about.
Yeah.
And we're having them wear masks, but they're not wearing masks over their mouth. They're going to be wearing Batman masks because we find that funny. So we think a whole audience of people wearing Batman masks would be really hysterical.
Now, what's the vaccine thing like out there? Has that worked well?
I'm two jabs in 2 weeks. I'm fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the way we're doing it is the way Vegas has done everything, which is I know a guy. There's no government system. It's just essentially a trunk of a car. I heard that they're now saying at Walmart, I'm not at Walmart, at Walgreens, if anyone needs a vaccine, we got them.
Wow.
That's just over the PA. Over the PA. And I went in and there was like almost no paperwork. It was just like, okay.
Is that right?
Were okay.
Are you at Walgreens?
Yeah. Walgreens. At Walgreens, before I was, as far as the world was concerned, eligible. I walked in and said, do you have any extra vaccine? And she said, yeah, I don't know. We called some people and they said it was too late at night for them. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
Vegas. You know, if you live in California, you have no chance of a vaccine. Yeah. If you live in Vegas, it's, well, you know, do you know somebody? You got you got 20 bucks you can slip me? Sure.
It worked. And I've got to say, they did. I'm fully done.
Sure.
And for a while, they kind of rolled it along pretty well here. I have to say.
Oh, good.
Initially, the first time I got it, it was like, it was good. I mean, look, it'd be like, I'd stay. Do you want me to stay online with a camel farting in my face for 3 hours? Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. By the second time I went, and the people that I know who went later, it was bam, 35, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Considering the amount of people and, you know.
Yeah, well, I know that it's being run very well in California and in New York. But Vegas, you know, we do things differently here.
In West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. Yeah. The fucking Hillbilly's Revenge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can do this. We always wondered what people in West Virginia could do. Yeah. Turns out they could vaccinate. End of list. And that's what they could do.
So you've been locked up in that house? Did you get out at all?
No, sir. Or to answer your questions in order, yes, sir. No, sir.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's the thing why I think I should be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Nobody in my family injured by me. Nobody.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's hard. As hard as the lockdown has been for everyone, being a 14-year-old boy must be the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, my son, you remember when you were 14,
What
a horrible, miserable, slimy life that was. Imagine that locked in your room with only your parents to talk to.
Wow.
No, thanks.
Not good.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
But it looks like, you know, they started going to school and it looks like it's opening up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if we don't open up, we can't get the mutations to be able to really take over.
Yeah.
We have we got to give them a fighting chance. And Texas and Florida are leading that, you know. We will do a little incubation thing and see if we can get around the vaccines.
Well,
because not taking the vaccine ourselves is not enough.
Yeah. It really is extraordinary. I do that fucking intros to these rant casts, and I go, I'm really sorry that I'm not going to be funny for the next 5 minutes, but I have no idea. I said, I can't make jokes about certain types of stupidity. I'm drawing the line. I said, I'm drawing the line here. There's no reason it gives them more it gives their bullshit more dignity for me to make a joke about it.
Yeah.
It dignifies their fucking action.
It's amazing how you could politicize the wearing of masks and the vaccine. I mean, if you look historically, there were people who objected to the polio vaccine. You know, there were Jehovah's Witnesses, I believe, and a few other sects or cults, if you want to call them that.
That are gone now.
But there was never a political organization that decided that the polio vaccine was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, then imagine that, because that was just about being mobile. Imagine, you know, how many people would put today, Bob. Fuck, it's just my legs.
I could stand on stage like Neil Young and play guitar. I can always do that. Because, you know, Bob, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, both polio survivors. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Both of them. Neil Young does stand on stage with his guitar like that because his left leg is fucked up.
No kidding. Wow.
Neil Young said, I can't feel where my left leg is, but I just figure it's probably somewhere near my right leg.
Wow. Good.
And Joni Mitchell has something in her arm, I believe.
Yeah, I was there. So that was, you know, it's unbelievable to me that those people, I mean, it's beyond my comprehension.
It's also unbelievable to me that when that vaccine came out, they didn't all say, this is Trump's vaccine, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that roll of the dice that ended up that being backwards? Because Trump could have, he tried kind of half-assed, but he could have fully embraced taking credit for that.
Yeah.
And it would have been hard to bust him, you know, but he didn't. He kind of went, yeah, we did all this research, and by the way, it might be hype. What?
Yeah, that was I have to say, that was, of all of the time of my, in my entire life, the most, I'd have to say, even the Cuban Missile Crisis, all of the things I kind of watched when we were at the brink of war when I was a kid, and building these things in the, you know, building, those bunkers in your backyard. But with that day when he walked out on stage, the first kind of reporting of when we're going to have our first press conference about the vaccine, about what we're doing with COVID, you know, and that he's standing there and talking. And I went, that moment traumatized me to think, I went, wow, they're not going to do anything. I stood there, watch. I said, they're really not going to do anything.
It's amazing.
And then the next day, they're not going to do anything. And then the fact, too, that, you know, Democrats, Republicans, or whatever, that none of them, that the Democrats and the Republicans couldn't get together and come forward and say, no. You know, that you have to, this has to be dealt with. I think it's shameful. And I think that, in a sense, there's a culpability that him, I get.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like, oh, really? So they shaved an eighth and then they elected him. I got it. That's what happened. But this, you know, the others, no. The others knew better. He didn't.
It's really interesting that someone who's known for ranting and screaming, the powerful word you use is shameful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's really true. When you said that thing about anger being expressed another way, it's really interesting that when your heart is really broken, the word that comes to mind is not fuck them or assholes,
yeah,
but the word is shameful.
Yeah.
Because that is the right word.
Yeah.
That's the correct word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and what they did to kids and what they've done,
yeah,
the damage, all of them is reprehensible. And then, which is why we have to go back to Grandpa. You know, just hope he doesn't poop his pants.
Well, I don't even care if he does that.
I don't either. Just as long as we don't have to clean it.
I would rather do that than have Trump again.
Yeah.
I'd rather clean it than have Trump.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lewis. You know, it's been so long, and although we haven't crossed paths that much, it's still been, 35 years we've known each other, something like that, back from the New York days. And I'm glad you're making it through this. Yeah. And I'm sure everybody can't wait for you to get back on the road and be yelling back on the road and doing all that. And please, stay positive, stay negative. No. Yeah. Stay positive, stay negative.
Yeah.
And
be positive, stay negative.
Do you want to tell them where you can find your podcast?
Yeah, tell us where you can find the podcast.
It's if you go to my LewisBlack.com. It's also Laugh Button's got it, and Apple and all those, every fucker who does a podcast.
go to every fucker that does a podcast.
If you go to LewisBlack.com, they'll direct you to the stuff.
And you put out an album last year. Are you still promoting that?
Yeah, it's, Thanks for Risking Your Life. It's the special, and that you can get on Amazon Prime, and eventually, I couldn't get anybody to do it because it wasn't super duper enough. You know, it wasn't the, it didn't have all the bells and whistles. It was really neat to do it. It was kind of, it came out pretty well. Kind of like a great accident.
Great.
It was really kind of an intimate special. And I'm glad I'm really glad we did it, because it really was the final show that I thought even if nobody liked it, I said it was a great marker. It's a historical mark. Because I don't think anybody else did that.
So the Rantcast and the last show, Thanks for Risking Your Life, are both available with whatever fuckers do them.
Yeah. I mean,
so go look for them.
LewisBlack.com will guide you everywhere you need to go, to.
And that's Lewis Black? Oh, go on. Say.
Yeah, LewisBlack.com. And then I also sent my best to Tyler. And
I will.
And your wife, your feral wife. And
I will.
And the family.
And that was Bed Sunday School. Cha cha cha. You become naked. Boy, do I like Available Wherever Those Fuckers Do That Shit. I really like that. Seems perfect. Hear that bass playing? That's me.
Is that right?
Yeah. My band. And you know we love you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lewis. That was a blast. Thank you for fighting the technology for us.
No, it was great. It was really great to spend time with you. It's been too
really,
long.
Really, really.
And when I get back out there, I will track you down.
Yeah.
It's really been a pleasure. And thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Thrilled to talk to you, pal.
Yeah.
All right. And I want to thank the loyal members of the congregation who support us on patreon.com/pen. Joseph Mastrangelo, Jeremiah Jenkins, Nate Soloway, Kelly Reeves, Michael Kaplan, Jesse Miller, Alexander Hoffman, Michael Howard, Danny Olwine, Julian Webb, Peter Shallop, Stephen Volcano, Grace, Jim the 20-Year Naked Magician, Scooped Mids, and Paul McBride. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.